All right, it is time for a little UFC 300 preview. We're bringing back our friend John Kelly, noted MMA expert, to talk about this very jam-packed slate. We're also going to check out some of the new tools on his site, Fight Numbers, and find all of the best bets, DFS picks. We'll build a lineup at the end of the show. You know, just some classic lol stuff with Pete, Brick, and John. Let's go.
He thinks this is a go. Vegas Dave thinks this is a go.
Hot naked girls doing yoga.
What?
Why don't you just win like a man?
Random.org. Type in one for yes, two for no, and let the DFS guys pick for you.
And I'm absolutely begging you not to dupe us. Please don't dupe us.
All right. John Kelly, Brian Hooper. John, it's been a minute since we've had you on the program, our resident DFS and, you know, MMA sports betting expert. So welcome back.
Yeah, thanks, guys. It must be a slow week in the DFS drama streets to be asking me to come on, but always happy to discuss UFC. And we got a great card to talk about, so super excited.
Yeah, for sure. Brian, how are you doing? I assume you'll be partaking in UFC action this weekend.
Oh, yeah, I'll be playing. You know, I'm just trying to get over OJ dying, Pete.
I know. I didn't mean to just skip over the biggest news of the day, OJ Simpson dying. I did see someone just post where he said, like, watching OJ on this, and then it was a shot of, like, the old school TV that your teacher would wheel in on the cart. I definitely remember watching The Chase on one of those. I don't know if that was your guys' experience as well.
Oh, I remember it. I remember it vividly, yeah.
I believe I was in second grade when the OJ stuff happened. How old were you guys? Do you remember?
I was in my mid-40s. No, I don't remember. I was in the 90s, right? I was in high school.
I was going to say, I don't even know what year that was.
Pete, yeah, I think you're like a year or two older around there.
I think it was like, wasn't it like 93, 94?
So it sounds right. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, only the good die young, Pete, you know?
It's true. It's very true. Here is the tweet I was trying to pull up here. You got the one of those old projectors. And I remember, I think it was then later, I must have been in like fourth or fifth grade, our teacher had us watching the trial, the OJ trial, or however, you know, long after. And at that point, I'm like, we are in elementary school watching a trial. This is clearly just for you, the teacher, to get to watch this while getting paid, because I don't think I retained anything from an OJ Simpson trial as an elementary schooler.
Why would they show it at all?
I literally think because the teacher's like, hey, let's see what's up here. So yes, John, we did bring you on for you to share your most memorable OJ Simpson story. So, you know, the floor is all yours.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, that was a little before my time. You said 94. I was about 4 or 5 years old at the time. So don't remember too much. I do remember those TVs in the classroom, but I guess my teacher wasn't as crazy as yours. They weren't pulling up murder trials for elementary school students.
The best part is I went to a Christian school, a Christian elementary school too. So like this was, isn't it funny when you like at the time you have a memory and then you're like, oh yeah, that was weird. It was weird that we were watching the OJ Simpson trial in elementary school.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You take whatever they say as like, you know, the gospel, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's it. Teacher said it has to be true. Did you guys do anything for the eclipse?
No, my wife is out of town, so I've been solo dad duty, so I've just been nonstop with my daughter, basically. So barely even looked outside, honestly, and we didn't get a total eclipse where I'm at in Pennsylvania either, so it wasn't too much.
That's how I wrote it off, you know, not having, you know, we weren't in the path of totality, so I said I'll just catch it again in 20 years. You know, that was kind of my thought.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Did you, Brian, you get out there with the glasses?
Yeah, we had like 94% or something here.
Okay. In this,
like Chicago area. Yeah. So yeah. Went out and took a look. Yeah. I got the glasses and stuff.
I saw some like videos where like people were like weeping. They were so overcome with emotion. They were like hugging and there was like people were having these revelatory experiences. And I was like, apparently I missed out because that seems like a grand old time.
There's weirdos everywhere, Pete.
Yeah, the real question with this card coming up, and I'll be completely honest. When I looked at this and I was thinking UFC 300, I was like, what if we just do a live hang? I was like, what if we bump Lulz, we'll invite John, we'll do kind of a live hang during it. And then I'm thinking about the time and how late this is going to go. And I'm like, I can't do it. Are you going to be able to stay up for this, John?
Yeah, it's kind of like a running bit for me. And it's not even a bit, like it's a real thing. I regularly fall asleep during pay-per-views. It's just so brutal on the East Coast. But this one, I will be forced to stay awake. I'm actually headed to the Masters, courtesy of Jonah, me, him, and Skyler. So we're actually going to go catch the card somewhere down there locally on Saturday. So I'll be forced to stay awake because I'm sure we'll be out somewhere. So it'll be a good time.
Yes. Yeah, it's been brutal lately. Like I was watching that national championship game on Monday and I was like really enjoying watching it. Hadn't watched a lot of basketball and I just had to tap out at halftime. I'm like, halftime, I bet I would have like just clawed my eyes open the whole time, like just kept the action going. I was like, sorry, I got to tap out. Brian, yeah. you get central time, so it's not quite as bad for you.
Yeah, I still can't make it most of the times. Yeah. This starts at 5 though. 5, well 5 central I think this is.
Yep.
13 fights, so it's not 14, so you guys save, you know, half an hour or whatever there. That's still too late probably for a Lulz hang.
It says the main card is starting on ESPN Plus at 10 p.m. Eastern. So
yeah, every pay-per-view is a 10 p.m. start, and they typically, I mean, the bigger the card, the slower the rollout towards the main event. And this card, which I'm sure we'll talk about, but there's actually 3 5 rounders too. So like if even 2 of those go to decision, I mean, we're talking, it might be 2 a.m. before this card wraps up.
That's all I needed to hear. I'm tapping out now. I'm tapping out now. Set the stage for people who, you know, are like me, you know, a little bit about UFC, you know, 300 is a big round number. What is the significance of this card? Why is it so jam packed?
Yeah, honestly, you know, I've been a hardcore fan, I'd say a casual for as long as I could remember, but hardcore for the past 5 years or so. And this is the best card that's ever been put together, really up and down across UFC history. I mean, you have 12 former or current title champions that are fighting on this card. You have 2 former champions that are opening up the prelims. So that just speaks to like the magnitude of how good this card is from top to bottom. There's really only one fight that I'm not super excited about, and that's the Kayla Harrison fight. But, you know, some people, I know Brian's a big WMMA fan, so he might be super excited about that one. But there's a lot of like interesting narratives. You have Jim Miller, who is making UFC history. He fought on UFC 100. He fought on UFC 200. And now he's fighting on UFC 300, which is That's absolutely crazy. Insane to have that longevity in a sport like this and still be like actually competing at the level that he does. So up and down, I mean, there's awesome storylines, awesome card. It's going to be a great one on Saturday.
Yeah.
It is really big. I mean, even in the early prelims, there's Devinson, right? He had a belt.
Yep. Yeah. So did Cody back in the day. He's fighting Garbrandt, and it was longer ago because Garbrandt's, you know, some people kind of think he's washed at this point. But yeah, 2 former champions opening up the prelims.
That's the early prelims. In the prelims, yep. Then you got Sterling. Yuri, right? Didn't he got one, right?
Yep.
And was Holly Holm too? She was
back in the day, the head kick against Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
She's like 42 years old though.
Right. But I mean, still kind of a big name, but I'm surprised Yuri is in the prelims.
Yeah. I think he's the featured bout of the prelims. So they are giving him a little bit of shine there. But that's a really fun fight against Alexander Rakic.
Yeah,
he's fun against anybody.
Yeah, he is.
And then, like, one of the best fights that I've ever seen, and I haven't watched a lot, so I guess take that with a grain of salt, but it is the Wei Li fight against Joanna a few years ago that went 5 rounds. And so I immediately got excited to see her here on this title fight.
Yeah, that was the one with Joanna. Was that the one where she had like the alien head? Like,
yes.
That was wild, dude. Like, yeah. That was one of the best fights I've ever seen myself. Yeah. So I'm right there with you. She's this on that. Probably not going to be as good.
Okay.
She's on that Chinese super juice. She's gotta be, man. She's jacked.
Yeah, she is.
What is your, which fight are you most excited about?
It's really kind of hard to say. I mean, I honestly want to watch every single one of these. I would say if I had to choose one, it's probably the chalk answer here, but I'm going to say the Gaethje Holloway. They're fighting for the BMF title. It's a five rounder. I'm just a huge Gaethje fan, huge Holloway fan, and being able to watch both of them go at it with their fighting styles, like, it's going to be nonstop action. It's going to be super fun fight. So that's probably my favorite.
Was there a weight cut in there for Justin or anything? Is this their normal weight?
It's his normal weight, but Holloway's actually moving up to 155. Okay. He fought once or twice back in the day at 155, but he's usually 145, but he's moving up to fight Gaethje here.
Oh, yeah. That'll be rough.
I mean, how did they even decide, like, what is actually the main event when you're just jamming it with a bunch of main events?
Yeah, well, it's always got to be a title fight of some sort. So there's two title fights. So the Wiley fight that you mentioned, that's the co-main. And then the light heavyweight one there at the top, that's for the light heavyweight strap. So that's going to be the main event. But, I mean, from an entertainment standpoint, it's literally like almost every single card on this is going to deliver. It's going to be sick.
Yeah. Someone wrote in chat about Izzy, and it's like his were usually kind of boring, his fights. You know, like these guys are all just swingers, like top to bottom.
Yeah. Yeah. Izzy, you know, he's a more measured striker, more technical striker, whereas like these fighters, like you said, a guy like Jiří, I mean, he's all gas, no brakes. That's why he's not only hurting his opponent, but a lot of times he's getting hurt himself. And that just speaks to like a lot of the way these guys match up. I think we're going to see a lot of finishes.
And we're going to check out your odd screener at fight numbers here in a second. But just like scanning this initial thing, it does look like the Jiří one is one of the closer spreads, like a true coin flip.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one. I think Yuri's the popular side. That line is actually, it might flip come Saturday. He's taking some money. I actually, it might be a hot take. I like the other side with Rakic. I don't know if you want me to get into why yet, but I feel like I'm kind of on an island with that one.
You're talking betting.
Yes. Yeah. DFS Jiří's clearly got the higher ceiling.
Right.
Well, let's dive into some of that. I have pulled up at fight numbers. First, let people know what you guys got going on over here, because, you know, you've expanded a lot. I remember checking out fight numbers. You'd have your, you know, you'd have your shows, you'd have your write-ups, but now you've kind of really built out a team, this odd screener. What's all the new bells and whistles here?
Yeah. Appreciate you showing it off here. Basically it just got to a point where like I was doing a bunch of stuff on the side for free. I had some opportunities to work with some other companies or partner with other people. And it just got to a point where what made the most sense for me, where I just kind of decided, okay, well, if I'm actually going to try to, you know, monetize this, then let's actually build out some tools and stuff that me selfishly would want to use as a UFC bettor or MMA DFS player. And so not combining that with what's available on the market. So it's not just doing what everyone else is doing, but providing stuff that you can't really get elsewhere or just do it better than what's on the market. So one of the things here that you're showing is our odds screen. So it pulls up, it pulls from over 100 sports books, and then not just the ones displayed here. And then if you toggle to best prices, it'll actually just list, it'll list the best, where you can find the best money line or totals across those 100 sports books. So it's just basically streamlining that line shopping process for you. So make it a little bit easier there. And really just trying to give you a better bang for your buck. And again, this is something where versions of it existed, but not as clean and organized and as efficient. So it was just something that I felt there was a value add that I could provide. So that was one thing. And then on the DFS side, you know, we have a different tool as well, like basically just trying to provide all of this, these tools and resources that you can't really find elsewhere, and then solely dedicating it to UFC, because a lot of these other sites, it's like UFC gets a little bit of love, but they're kind of like, you know, the stepchild. Whereas, you know, fight numbers, we're just basically solely focusing on UFC.
Nice, man. Well, yeah, this is clean, and I immediately already looking at that Jiri. So that number, like you said, was pretty stale at plus 100 because now it's minus 104 is the best line over here.
Yep.
And you said you like the other side of this one?
I do, yeah. And I know Jiri's super popular, and it's because he's the more exciting fighter. Rakic is more of like a boring guy, but I actually equate that more to like his fight IQ. Like he's not taking a lot of risk like Jiri is. He also, I think, could potentially land takedowns and control Jiri as well. We saw him do that multiple times in the past. And I think the biggest thing for me is Rakic's best weapon is his leg kicks. He's super powerful with the leg kicks. We know Jiri doesn't check leg kicks and doesn't handle them well. We saw that as recent as his last fight against Alex Pereira, where his leg was compromised within the first couple minutes. So it's like multiple things like that where, yes, it's a close fight. I could see the case for Jiri just walking him down and hurting him, but I'm almost always going with the guy that I think is more measured, more process-driven, and I think that's Rakic here. The reason it's mine where it's at is because he's coming off a two-year layoff because he blew out his ACL his last fight.
Very nice. We were talking before the show, obviously it's a little early. We'll talk about some DFS stuff at the end of the stream and build a lineup, no ownership projections and stuff out right now. Are there any of these other fights or from a betting perspective that really jump out to you? Maybe a juicy live dog or a gold star lock of the week that you'll refund everyone on if it doesn't hit?
Yeah, I don't know about a gold star, but there are a few that I like. I mentioned I think we see a lot of finishes, but I also think there's like two or three fights where I think there's value on the over. A lot of times in these five rounders, especially this year, it seems like books are kind of overcompensating to the likelihood of a finish. And I think that's what's happening in the Gaethje fight, and that's what's happening in the Wiley fight. The Wiley fight specifically goes to decision. You can get plus money. And that it's like every female fight that's been a five rounder this year, I think, like they've just always been mispricing it. We just saw it with the UFC Atlantic City card with Blanchfield and Thoreau. That one was, I think, plus money or near a pick'em to go the distance. Wasn't even a sweat. We saw it with Rose Namajunas and Amanda Ribas in that main event a few weeks ago. I bet that one to go the distance as well. You got some plus money there. I just think that's something that the books haven't really, accurately priced this year, but just mainly the female fights. And then the Gaethje one, I just think both guys are super tough. And I think like over 3.5 is like, what do we have there? Over 4.5 best available minus 120. I think that's pretty good.
Nice. Brian, I'll throw this one to you because this is right up your alley as someone who I'm sure will be watching Masters his way. For Skyler, do you have an optimal way to sweat UFC 300 together the night before Masters Sunday? Although, actually, this is probably – is Skyler part of your crew, John, that's going
he
to
He is, yeah. Jonah okay. is kind enough to be bringing us along, so we'll all be at Augusta together.
Well, I'm going to ask the question for you to Brian. Brian, what is the optimal way to sweat UFC before going to Masters?
You want to get a bunch of girl drinks and drink about 12 to 15 of them. And then make just a bunch of stupid bets until you get limited. You know, props, size totals.
What's your go-to girly drink?
Mike's Hard Zero Sugar.
Really?
Right now. It switches.
Okay. I like that. Yeah. Mike's Hard, fun fact, the first sip of alcohol I ever had was Mike's Hard lemonade. Beer scared me a little too much at the time. I was like, this Mike's Hard lemonade? Sign me up.
That explains some things because they're delicious. So you get that first delicious nectar in you and you're not going to stop.
John, what about – which dog – do you think is the most live aside from like, you know, like the coin flip type dogs?
Yeah, I think the most popular underdog is going to be Max Holloway. But honestly, I wouldn't bet it where the line's at now. I think I'm more interested in Calvin Kattar. He's also coming off an ACL injury. So there's some concern there. But he's facing Aljamain Sterling. And Sterling's gotten steamed basically since this fight opened. It opened around a pick'em. And now, as you can see, best available minus 170. I think a lot of people are just expecting that he's easily going to, you know, translate his skills to the 145 pound division because he's moving up now. He was the former champ at 135. I just think the market is pricing this like he's automatically going to land takedowns or get the back takes, because I think that's what he needs to get to win this fight. And Calvin Kattar is somebody that historically that has not been easy to do against. Like, he fought Josh Emmett. He fought Dan Ige. Both of those guys combined went 0-13 on takedowns. Like, he's not an easy guy to grapple with. So when you have a guy like Sterling, whose wrestling's not even that great to begin with, now moving up in weight class, I just think there's a lot of assumptions that the market's making at that price. And I think Kattar's the better striker. So if he can keep it on the feet, I think he's one of the better dogs at target.
I like it. You guys can all check out what we're looking at here, fightnumbers.com. I dropped it in the chat, put it in the show notes, got this new UFC odds screener here. Brian, you think you're going to head down to the Buffalo Wild Wings, fire off a few bets?
You know, I could do it from the comfort of my home too, but I am thinking about betting a few of these. Gaethje and Kattar too, for those guys, when they move up, it doesn't seem to do well. Like, even just like inner division, when guys miss weight, they win on, you know, more than they should historically. And I think those few pounds, they matter, you know, a lot more than you know, what the market's saying. I agree with John. You know, I mean, honestly, I've only done that research for DFS stuff, but weight matters, you know? So, I wouldn't mind taking those two stabs. I might just bet Yuri for fun. He's just a wild man. He could get knocked out in the first, you know, like it's possible, you know, watching his fights. That championship fight is going to be fun. You know, like, Hill is a scary dude. I don't know, John, you tell me, but like, I think that line's good, but like, he's a scary guy, but man, going against Alex, I don't know. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. That was one where I'm probably not going to bet it. I did pick Hill for what it's worth. That one, it's like, for me, it's one of those things where a lot of the like X's and O's in a fight like that don't really matter, in my opinion, because at the end of the day, like, they're just going to clash. And so it's going to be whoever is holding up, whoever holds up longer is going to win. And that's why I ended up siding with Hill, is just because I trust his durability a lot more. Pereira, you know, super powerful on the feet, but he's been wobbled multiple times over his last couple of fights. Hill is coming off a torn Achilles, though. So, like, it's kind of a theme of this card. There's a lot of fighters that are coming off some serious injuries. So there's a possibility they won't look the same. But for a fight like that, it just may not matter.
There you go. I was just scoping the lobby on DraftKings. Looks like, is this the flagship $30, 200K to top? How are we feeling about that? You think they could have gone a little bigger for this event?
I mean, my God, yes. I've been like begging for them to make these bigger, especially with the bigger pay-per-views. Like, they price this like it's just a normal ho-hum pay-per-view. They do this for every pay-per-view. Maybe not the $30 entry. It's usually like $25, but the $200K to first place is their MO for every pay-per-view. And now you have the best pay-per-view of all time and you don't even bump it to $300. Like, this is going to fill early. They just consistently leave money on the table. So yeah, I'm not thrilled with the shy way that they went about this.
What's the 500 one? Did you check that, Pete? The high stakes one?
The 555?
Yeah.
It's bigger. They made that one bigger.
They made it 100?
I think it's 100K to first. Yeah. I'll probably end up, I don't usually play that one, but I'll probably.
Yeah, 100's a lot better than normal. That's pretty good. I'll probably do a couple in there too. Yeah.
What is the I mean, it sounds like they've been playing it conservative based on what you just said, but what is the overall kind of UFC DFS ecosystem like right now?
I mean, I think it's growing. I always try to, you know, hashtag grow the game on Twitter. I'm always blasting away at DraftKings support. But I think it, the as far as like the entertainment and just the amount of people that are now playing MMA and interested in it than maybe 2-3 years ago, I think it's certainly trending up.
Yeah. Brian, have you been playing? Do you play weekly all the cards?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How has your MMA DFS season been going?
No, not good. Haven't been winning, but I got Sklansky bucks that I can cash in. So
that's all that matters. You,
yeah.
Grading out well in the post lock sims.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see, before we make a lineup, let's talk about some of the kind of salaries. Is the best way to go about this, John, using the sim tool, or what's the best way to kind of start with, you know, salary stuff?
Yeah. You can pull up Fight Pick Sim on my site if you want, or I did post the DraftKings rankings. So that shows pricing as well, as far as like, you know, who I prefer in each section. So that could help too.
Let's start there. And then we can venture back. Oops, my paste did not work. Let's get this pulled up here. Talk us through what we're seeing here for the rankings.
Yeah, it's basically just like a starting point for tournaments. Like, these are the guys I prefer relative to the rest of the people in their pricing section. That's all.
So then Wei Li with the one, she's your preferred option in the 8-9 or higher range.
Yeah. And I mean, she's going to be super, super popular. I just think the combination of floor and ceiling for her is among the best on the slate, probably the very best.
Gotcha. And then what we got in the 8-4 range, Gaethje there, your favorite option.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much like as a general rule of thumb for like nobody that knows anything about UFC or anything about this slate, like it's super obvious, but target the 3-5 rounders and, you know, target Bo Nickel, like those type of fights, the Turner, Moicano. Like if you know nothing and you do that, you're probably playing okay. It's just you gotta make sure that you're not just playing the straight most popular combination of builds, obviously.
Brian, ballpark math in your head, what do you think the chances are that the winning lineup in the big contest has a representative from each of the 5-round fights?
Oh, God. Wow. High, very high. I don't know, 85%.
What would you say, John?
I would say it's high. I don't know if I would go as high as Brian, only because this slate particularly, there's so many fights that can score well. So like that, it gives you a little bit more outs to where maybe one of those three one of those 3-5 rounders don't make the optimal lineup.
I bet it's really like, what would you say then? Like,
yeah, I mean, 20%? not much lower than you.
Okay. Yeah.
I would say a little lower, like maybe 75% of the time.
Okay.
Like a combination of those three.
All right. And, then follow-up question, at what clip do you think, three representatives of a title fight will be rostered at? Like, will it be efficient, or will there be leverage in that too many people will do that?
That's a good question.
I think you're fine because there's three fights, and you can mix and match. The ownership has to get spread around a decent amount. That 75% sounds like a good line, though, actually. And I would bet the over, though, if that was like a sports book. I would take the over. I'd feel pretty confident. I think the ownership wise, I think the two are. Wei Li is probably going to be one of the highest owned.
Definitely.
And then, there you go. And Armin probably second or third.
He'll be up there. I don't know if he would be my second or third. I mean, just because he's not a 5-rounder for starters. So like Gaethje Holloway is going to be super owned. And then with the main event, the Hill Pereira, they're both priced in the mid range. So they're both very affordable. So, like, I think maybe those would creep up ahead of of Armin, who I do think is going to be popular, but I would say he's probably like 4 or 5. And I haven't run ownership yet, so I'm just kind of spitballing, but I would say he's top 5.
Yeah. And Hill, Gaethje.
Yeah, because what? It's going to be the cheapest of the 5-round fight options are going to end up being probably some of the most popular, right? That just intuitively makes
usually
sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It depends. They could definitely, 3-rounders definitely lead the way a lot of the time. I mean, there's just 3 5-round fights, so they'll take some of that ownership for sure.
And one thing,
I don't mind that. I think you said at the beginning of this, the Kayla Holly Holm fight, I actually don't mind that for DFS. I don't know. It just seems like, especially Holly Holm, maybe she's just getting too old, but like that she'll take a beating. I mean, this is DFS, right? Like, so like we don't really care what happens as long as the number go up, you know, as long as they go 3 rounds of just swinging and getting that score over 100. I don't know. Maybe she's just too old and she can't, and it's just not going to happen, but.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind Harrison. Honestly, I think it could be like a boring fight, but like what you're saying, like maybe it does turn into like a Macy Chasson type of performance where she just like out grapples her for 9 minutes and then gets the second round finish and scores fairly well.
Yeah. Or just she could take a beating without like, you know, decision, going down in the third round with, and you know, after 40 strikes or something that just kills your team.
Yeah.
Like she might be able to take a beating. I don't know. We'll see if my Sims push me to that. I actually get a lot more women fighters than I think that's more ownership based too, though.
Yeah.
And some of the research I did, they take guys or DFS players take women at like a couple points percentage less than they should.
Yep.
I would completely believe that. The amount of like, even as a casual UFC fan, the amount of bitching I see on Twitter about like women fights when they dud, it seems like disproportionate to any other complaining about fights.
Right. But DFS isn't real life. I know you know this, Pete, but like DFS players complaining on Twitter, it's like, it's not, DFS is not real life. So they'll count. I mean, this is my feeling, you know, they'll count significant strikes more easily or freely in girl fights, you know, women fights. And so they can still rack up some big DFS numbers, even though you might not find the fight entertaining. Who cares? You know, it's still money.
Yep. Let's see. Let's check out the fight pick sim tool. And then maybe this can push us toward building our collective DraftKings lineup. Let the people know what this thing is doing. Sim, obviously, quite the buzzword, you know, especially around these parts.
Yeah, so basically, Nate Latshaw is the creator of this tool. I partnered with him. Basically, it's a fully customizable in the sense that it's based off of your picks. So like, it's not just, hey, copy what John does and it'll spit out an optimal lineup. It's you're picking the person who wins and how they're winning, and then running through that slate. It'll spit out projections based on those picks for every fighter, and it'll give you the optimal lineup based on how many times that slate played out. And you see in the drop down there, it's set to 10,000 right now, which usually takes like 2 minutes to load. But if you lower it to like 5,000 or 1,000 sims, it's pretty quick. But you can just kind of play around with how many different combinations of slates that you run through, and then just sort of compare the data on each of those runs to see what more of the math side is saying based on the picks that you gave it.
Nice. That's sweet. So show, like, what's the best way to start using it? Who should we start with here? What would be a fun?
Yeah, well, scroll up first. Go hit yes on compute optimal lineup percent, because that's definitely helpful. And then that uncertainty interval. So that's just like the confidence level of how often the fighter lands in that projection range that it's going to give us. So obviously the higher the confidence, the wider the range, if that makes sense. And then we could just start picking how we think the fight's going to go. Or even if you don't think the fight's going to go that way, sometimes it's still interesting to pick an outcome that you don't think happens. But if it does, you want to see what that slate would look like. So you could just start going each fight by fight, how you think it's going to go here.
Yeah, let's speed through a few of these and see what it looks like. Pereira here versus Hill. We were already saying Hill's going to be a popular underdog. What? How do you like playing this one out?
I think Hill knockout round two. What do you think, Brian?
I could go that honestly either way on this fight. It's those guys. They're both like looking at thinking about these guys and like if you saw them in a street, you know, like how scared would you be? Both of these guys, I would be going on the other side of the street. No offense, you know, they're just so fucking scary. They're both studs. So
yeah,
either way,
Brian, how would you like to agree here? Yeah, Wei Li.
Yeah,
by decision.
I think it's a decision. I'm probably going to bet it to go the distance. So,
yeah.
And I say Gaethje, but I think he likes Max. I can't.
No, remember. I like Gaethje as well.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the leg kicks are going to be a huge factor in that fight.
How do you see Gaethje? How should we do him in this one?
I picked him by decision.
Has Holloway ever even been knocked out?
He's never been knocked out. I think he was submitted once, like a long time ago.
Brian, who do you like on Oliveira?
I like Armin, but I mean, I don't know.
No, we're just.
Okay.
How do you want to have Armin win this one?
Oh God, I don't know. You know, Oliveira can get wobbled. Like he just comes back. So I could see it going before the end of the third. What do you think, John?
Yeah, I really think that one could go any which way. Like late round submission props for Armin are like 16-1, like the sub combo round 2-3. That's not that crazy. Like Oliveira is clearly a better grappler, but he tires, he gets hurt, like Brian said. It could be a decision if he just controls him, but also I wouldn't be shocked if he knocked him out either. He's just knocked out Beneil Dariush in his last fight. So really any one of those options I think is in play for Armin.
All right, let's do Armin submission.
This next fight is really a for DFS wise is do you like want to easily not dupe? Because if you just like easily don't want to dupe and you could take Brundage, just you know he's gonna lose almost every single time. But in the times he doesn't, you and I don't know what his ownership's gonna be. It depends. It's 13 fights. Let's say 8%. I don't know.
Yeah.
Something like that.
So John, if you the include bout in simulation, yes or no? If we put no, is this essentially saying I just want to full fade this fight in these lineups?
Yeah, or it's like it basically just won't even include that in the projections. So I always include all of them because I feel like it doesn't really make sense unless you think that fight's going to be like a late scratch.
Okay.
So yeah, I always include them all.
So should we get spicy with a Cody upset?
I wouldn't. No, I would. I mean, Bo Nickel is like the greatest wrestler to ever walk the face of the earth here.
This is honestly a benefit of using sims and optimizers because you can't, when you're physically building lineups, I can't imagine ever pulling the trigger on a minus 2000 dog, you know?
Yeah. But to your point, Brundage, he did win against Jacob Malkoon when he was like single digit owned, and it was a first round DQ win. So crazy things have happened.
Right. Which is why they get any ownership at all.
Yeah.
Neil, in our comments, I'm interested. Who are the fighters you consider fighting?
Wait, like fighting in real life?
Me? He says, if I consider fighting, I dock the fighter. Who are you fighting?
Neil gets a YouTube channel and now is feeling empowered to take on US caliber athletes.
I mean, I'm not fighting any of these people. Are you nuts? I weigh 150 pounds. What do you want me to do?
All right. So what are we putting for Bo Nickel officially?
I say first round submission.
Okay. All right. Next up, we have the Jiri one we were talking about before. It seemed like Rakic. Was that the offset?
I like Rakic, but that'll be one where it's like when I run through it multiple times, I'll run one set with Rakic. I'll switch up and go Jiri in another and just kind of compare the slates that way. So if you wanted to go Jiri, it's fine.
it's a good DFS fight too. So either
big
way.
Time, yeah.
So if you see Rakic winning, how do you think it goes down?
I picked TKO. I'm kind of indifferent though between TKO and decision, because I think decision could be in play as well. But he's basically got zero submission upside.
And just to, so for people using it, like say you have someone winning by knockout. If you have them doing knockout round one, this is going to be less points likely than a round two knockout versus a round three knockout, or no?
No, the reverse. Okay. So the round reverse? One, okay. any finish in round one is 90 points automatically. Any finish in round two is 70 points automatically. And any finish in round three is 45 points. So typically the nut outcome is you get a finish within 60 seconds, and then you get a 60 second bonus and the first round finish bonus. And then whatever strikes or knocks down. But if not, then you want basically like a first round finish at the very end of the round after they already racked up, you know, a couple takedowns and some other points as well.
And so I guess what I'm hinting at then is if you do first round knockout, you are going to probably get this person showing up in a ton of optimals. So like if you want to play him as a knockout, yeah. But like more conservative, you do two or three.
Yeah, that's correct. And it, that's where pricing comes into play, because what this tool helps out a lot is like, will the expensive fighters, so like a Bo Nickel, who we gave a first round sub, I haven't run this yet, so I'm curious to see on this type of a slate, is he even going to be hitting optimals that much because of the price? Even though we're giving him the nut outcome, the first round finish, he might not be optimal that much. Like, and I don't know, I'm just saying there's been slates in the past where like, even if you give somebody the first round knockout, which is what you want, sometimes they're not hitting optimals as much as they project to be owned on that slate.
Okay. Now we're to the Sterling fight here. Well, Brian, what do you like on this one?
I don't know. Either way,
John, you got what's your I'll, strong?
Yeah, take? Go with you guys.
Yeah, I'm gonna side with Cater. If you like the Sterling side, bet him by submission. Plus 480, I think, is available on FanDuel. But I like Cater. Decision.
Okay, Cater decision by three. Then we got the Holly and Harrison. Someone saying that Harrison's overpriced in the chat earlier. What do we think about this one?
I think Harrison could finish if Holly's dusted, like Brian was saying. Like maybe she's tough enough to take a beating here, but 42 years old, coming off a submission loss. And if you do think the UFC is rigged at all, if you do, I'm just saying, like typically when they pay these fighters to come over from other promotions, we saw it with Michael Chandler. He made a statement when he made his UFC debut and knocked out Dan Hooker. It was electric. Like nobody really likes this signing. They think it's a boring fight. Maybe Harrison just, you know, rocks up and gets a big finish here. I don't know. I'm just saying.
The DFS implications too are 9,300 is really high for this fighter. Yep. So that's, you know, a good thing kind of, because no one's going to, I mean, I'm guess I'll get, who knows, but what, let's say 14% owned, I could see somewhere around there, maybe a little lower, maybe a little higher.
I'd say a little higher just little because higher. People love these big favorites. Like even though it's stacked up there, I do think she'll at least get a little bit of love.
If it's in the low 20s, then I'm not in love with that fight, you know, but like 9,300 is hard to fit.
Yeah,
9,300 is a lot of salary for MMA DFS. So if it's in the 16, 15, 14 range, I could see if you're doing 150 lamps, you know, 25% of her. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if we leave her unanimous decision by three, that's probably like the most likely outcome.
That's
that
what's
make it
favored,
most interesting for the sim then to see like how it handles Bo and Kayla in wins, but at that price tag.
Yeah, I mean, I could tell you right now, her in a decision, it's not going to give her enough love. Like, she probably won't really sniff optimals on this slate. Okay. But if you gave her, like, a round two submission, then maybe she starts to get into some. But either way, I don't think she's really going to be, like, popping in the sims here.
It's going to be tough. Because there's 3 5-round fights, and she's 9,300. Like,
yeah.
Exactly. She's going to need 108 points at least to justify that salary.
Yep.
All right, we got this next one that Phila in the chat's excited for. Youssef versus Lopez is my favorite fight on the card. Guaranteed violence. Which violence method are we picking for this one?
Ryan, do you have a lean?
No, nothing. Nothing on this one.
I picked Yusuf Decision, so that's not saying a ton of violence. But if Lopez wins, it's going to be an early finish. So that's another one where it's like real life. I think Yusuf, you know, has more decision equity. But DFS wise, I like the Lopez side.
Let's have some fun. Lopez knockout in round one.
There you go.
Another DFS thought on this fight and the next fight is usually what happens with the ownership too, is like a lot of times there somebody in this 73 to 7,700 range, like the extra ownership flows to them. If that makes any sense, like, because you need underdogs. And then there's usually only a couple like good obvious ones on any given card. And so they just get a whole bunch of extra ownership just because it works and it fits. So that I don't know what it's going to turn out after, you know, all the data's done Saturday morning, but one of those, either two of these guys that could be pretty heavily owned or someone in that salary range is usually what happens.
Yeah. And that's where like line movement, I think, plays a huge factor in ownership. And that's why I could see Holloway even gaining more than he would, you know, just being a big name fighter, but also having the line movement in his favor and being in the low 7K. I think he's going to be the most popular underdog probably.
Yeah.
All right. Next fight, we got Turner and how do you say it? Is it Moicano?
Renato Moicano. Yeah. I got Turner round two knockout here.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was kind of more of like a rising star until his like last couple fights, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And I still think he's a rising star. Like those were tough matchups, and he wasn't, you know, he wasn't dead in really any of them. He was super competitive. A lot of people thought he might have won the Gamrot fight, who's a really good wrestler. But yeah, I like Turner here.
Okay. We got Turner round two knockout. Now we are on to this Jessica Rodriguez fight, both 8,100 here.
I would need to see the ownership to care.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, Andrade is going to be decent size more owned than Rodriguez here.
Okay.
But I also think Andrade probably wins. So
let's flip it then. Let's take the Rodriguez here. If Rodriguez wins, how do you think she gets it done?
I think decision. KO wouldn't be impossible because Andrade has been hurt, has been finished, but I think more than likely decision.
Then we got the Bobby Green, Jim Miller. Jim Miller, that's the ageless wonder guy.
Yeah, that's fighting on every pay-per-view, Jim Miller.
Bobby Green feels like he really has to light the other guy up to get a good DFS score. Like, he has to have one of those fights where he's like, you know, it's like a dummy bag and he's just, you know, piecing the guy up to get to that. I don't know. What do you think, John?
Yeah, totally agree. I'll tell you right now, like, I want a piece of pretty much every fight, but Bobby Green is the one fighter that I'd be willing to just X out on this slate. At 8,600, the fight's slightly favored to go the distance, and I do like that fight to go the distance. I'll probably end up betting that as well. But, like, Green in a decision win here, like, what does he score, 80 points at best? Like, it's just not going to do it at his price. So yeah. I'm out.
It's just I've been heavy on him before, and it's just a bummer watching this fight. It's like, God, he looks good. Like, he looks good out there, and he can get taken down too.
Yeah. And the other thing I was going to say is he's coming off a like CTE level knockout just like 4 or 5 months ago against Jalen Turner, who we just talked about. Like, it was a late stoppage. He took like 20 unanswered blows to the head from Jalen Turner, and this is his first fight back from that, so it's just kind of concerning.
All right, final fight here. Help me out with the name on this versus Cody Garbrandt.
Yeah, Deiveson Figueiredo.
All right, how do we like this one?
I think he knocks him out.
He's another scary dude. Even though he's not big, he's scary.
Yeah, he's small, but he's scary.
Round two knockout.
Yeah, that sounds good.
And he fought Pete. He's the guy who fought Brandon Moreno a bunch of times.
Yeah, like
four.
In those like epic battles.
Didn't he fight Oliveira too once?
Speaking of CTE, those guys.
No. Oh, okay. Maybe I'm mixing up my Brazilian guys. All right, so now I press this.
Yep.
Sexy button.
Yeah. Once you press that, how many did you do? Did you do 10,000?
I think I did 5,000.
Okay. So it might take like 60 seconds to load. While it is loading, I was going to tell you, Pete, because I know you're a big underdog fantasy guy. So the pick'em, there's actually two that I think are extremely strong this week on underdog. And personally, I think the Rivals is much easier to beat than just the pick'em. So the on the Rivals side, my favorite play on underdog this week is Jamal Hill plus 4.5 significant strikes. I have no idea why he's the dog to land more significant strikes. He throws way more than Pereira. He's going to be more active. Like, I don't understand that line. I think he should be like a pretty sizable favorite, like to land more significant strikes. So you got to go to the Rivals. Yeah, right there at the top, the 4.5 adjustment. That's the best
taken play on the board. Okay, taking this hill. Yeah.
Yeah. The other one I was going to mention was the Jiří fight. Even though I like Rakic, like, I just feel like sometimes they just don't know how to price these in terms of the significant strikes market. Like, Rakic is a very low volume fighter. Jiří, like Brian talked about it before, he moves forward like a wild man. He's constantly throwing. He's in your face. He's only favored by 2.5 strikes here. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. If this fight gets extended at all, he's going to be landing like 20 more than Rakic is very low volume. So you want the Jiří side here.
Okay, so these are your two favorites here?
Yep, by far.
Love it. All right, then the John confidence levels got me going here.
I didn't say it was a money back guarantee here.
No, when I'm an adult. I make my own decisions, but I heard the confidence in your voice and I'm applying that level of confidence here.
Yeah.
I mean, no shame.
Feel good about
there's no shame here.
Especially the Jamal Hill one. Like, I feel very strongly about the Jamal Hill side in that.
Okay. I just dropped that underdog link in the chat here. Mine's Champions, but I believe that link should work whether you're on traditional pick'em or Champions there if you guys want to tail. All right, let's head back. Our sim is, let's see here.
Yeah, scroll back up. Hit view simulation at the top.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Here we go. So you get a downloadable CSV if you want. What's the best way to start reading?
I sort by first optimal lineup. So then it'll show whatever the optimal was. And then I usually sort by optimal lineup percent like you did just to see who was popping or not.
So we do have Hill, obviously the knockouts bubbling up to the top, except for Turner's doesn't, but I guess that makes sense because that's the most expensive of our knockouts.
Yep. And he's around two as well. So keep that in mind.
Oh yeah. Sweet.
Hill is going to be really highly owned, 7,900 in a 5-round fight.
Yep.
At like plus 120 dog plus or whatever it was.
Yep.
So let's see. Let's then take. I'll get a lineup going over on DraftKings. Then we can kind of start to pull. So how have you been using this, John, to build your lineups? Because I assume you're still kind of hand building some.
I've actually slowly been converting to an optimizer, bro. Ooh. We partnered with the Solver a couple months ago, and so I have been running 150 most of these slates, usually in the mini max because I feel like I'm still, you know, kind of getting more and more comfortable each week with running 150, but yeah, so I've been doing both. I hand build my high stakes lineups or in single entry teams. And then I have my 150 set as well. So to answer your question, what I usually do is like I'll run through Fight Pick Sim. I'll run through like 3 to 5 different slates. And this is something I do on my DraftKings Deep Dive show, which is on Thursday nights at fightnumbers.com. And basically, I'll just run through and compare like, okay, based on this slate, like, let's see if if you pull it back up, is Bo Nickel popping here? Like I said before, even though we gave him the nut outcome, where's he at? Like
10%. Yeah.
Yeah. So we gave him a first round submission. He's only popping 10% of optimals on this slate at 9,500. And like, he's guaranteed to be higher owned than that. So like based on this slate, like the picks that we provided, the sims are saying that he's a pretty strong fade. Now, obviously our picks might not be accurate. So that's where it might change a little bit, but that's where it comes into running through it multiple times with different sets of picks. And that's where you get a much better feel, where it's like, if you run through 10 different combinations in Fight Pick Sim and Bo Nickel's not hitting more than 10% in any of them, well, now it's a little bit stronger of a signal that, you know, the Sims are saying he's probably a decent fade.
That's not a bad way to use that tool. If you just go the nut outcome for all of them, all the guys you think are going to win, and then run it, and then switch it so you could see the losers too, if you're wrong.
Yeah,
and see how it plays out for like ceilings.
Yeah, well, that's how I used to like to use, like, run the Sims, where I would adjust the, you know, like the market share, or say like that, you know, this guy's getting a 30% target share in this game, and it's like they're still not showing up in the optimal, and you're saying like they're the alpha because the price is so absurd. It gives you a good idea of how to actually understand what that price means for them. So which ones were our bigger upsets up here? You know, kind of trying to project a little ownership here on a Thursday.
Upsets or ownership? What do you mean?
I guess ownership for this.
Ownership. I mean, Jamal Hill's going to be super, super owned. But if he's winning by knockout at 7,900, he's probably going to be optimal. So, that's where it's like, the thing that I always try to stress is like, you can play the chalk. They're the chalk for a reason, but you have to be very mindful about who you're playing them with. Like, you have to find a way to get leverage somehow. So you can't just play Hill, Gaethje, Wiley. You know, you can't just plug in the most popular fighters. So it's like, Hill's a great play. Just don't play him with all those other popular combinations.
What about Hill with our guy Rakic here?
Yeah, we could do that. I mentioned before, Jiří, I think, has a better DFS ceiling than Rakic.
Oh, okay. But I do like
Rakic. Jiří will probably be higher owned too, because he's Jiří.
Definitely.
Okay.
It's tough. This is a tough week.
Yeah, Rakic will be the leverage side in that fight for sure.
I'll tell you, a lot of the people we like here are probably going to be in like the 20%, like middle. It'll be hard to get below 10 dupes if like that's your goal, Pete, which I'm assuming it is.
Always, Brian.
Yeah.
Till death. Then give me one, Brian, that you like to de-dupe us.
It is hard, and I don't want to do it. That's why I don't want to build by hand.
Dupe me, bro. I'm telling you to dupe me.
Like, I mean, that Kayla Harrison is going to be low owned, I think, but I don't know. I'll just like some of the low owned. I'm guessing, like, Marina, maybe Rodriguez.
Yeah,
she will. Yeah. We liked her, right? Yeah. We picked her in ours, and she's showing up in 31%.
We did pick her, yeah.
Yeah. Let's throw Marina in there. So we got 8,600 remaining for three fighters. We're kind of middle of the road here. 7,900, 8,200, 8,100.
We have decent leverage here. I mean, Marina's going to be low owned. Rakic is going to be the leverage side in his matchup. Hill's popular, but I feel like already this is not a popular build here, which is good.
That's what we like to hear. Is there a top play, a best play that we need to jam in here?
I mean, probably Wiley or Bo Nickel. But according to the Sims here, Bo's not a great play. Wiley's cheaper anyway. I like Wiley a little bit more just because she's cheaper.
Yeah.
So I like Wiley.
All right. So we now have Wiley in here, gives us 8,300 for our last two. Brian, you got anyone else you like here?
How much money do we got?
8,300 average.
Yeah, 16,600.
So we'll probably need one decent sized dog here, and then we can kind of do whatever with the other.
We could also, in this environment, we could take two fighters from the same fight.
I was gonna ask that.
Could. I mean, I'm typically anti-stacking guy, just because I feel like sometimes it's even over-owned relative to how many times it's optimal since the scoring change a couple years ago. But, you know, slates like this, 3-5 rounders, it does give it more outs.
Stack up Wiley?
I personally am not going to do that across any lineup that I build this week.
Yeah, we don't have to. It's just the
same. Like, Jan's going to be taken down multiple times. So, like, it's not like they're going to just trade like that Joanna fight.
Gotcha.
If it were going to be any, I think the obvious one is Gaethje Holloway, where if it goes the distance and they both land 175 strikes, like, then it has a chance.
All right, give me another name to put in here, and then we'll figure it out.
Well, we need to identify a dog here, so let's.
Yeah.
Well, Oliveira's.
Oliveira's. He's a high upside dog. We both like Sarukian, but if Oliveira wins, it's likely an early sub.
Okay.
Yeah, we could go Oliveira.
So okay, that gives us now. We should be okay. Kind
of do whatever.
Take whoever you want.
9,100. Yeah. I like all those. Figgy, Turner, Gaethje. I mean, yeah. They're all great.
Yep.
Little Gaethje, leave a little salary on the table here.
Let's do it.
That's fine. Right. That's fine.
So we got Gaethje, Olivieri, Wiley, Rodriguez, Rakic, and Hill. Don't dupe us, bros. Do not dupe us.
There's the winner.
John, this was fun, man. Thank you for swinging by and talking some MMA with us.
Yeah, absolutely, boys. Anytime you want to talk UFC, you know where to find me. Anytime Brian wants to debate Amanda Nunes, Chase Hooper, I mean, I'm always around for that too.
And obviously check out Fight Numbers. And you got, I assume you have a video preview up for this card as well on your YouTube?
I do, yep, on YouTube.
There you go. I have that linked in the show notes, but it's John Kelly DFS, right?
Yep, that's correct.
There you go. Brian, do you think you'll get a ownership up on brick75.com?
Yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it Saturday. That $30. I wanted to talk about that $30 really quick.
Each of you guys owe me 10.
$30, man, for the main event for the flagship DFS contest is pretty high. And the problem with that also isn't just that, you know, it's obviously more money is, in NBA, when they switched it to $4 from 15 and 18, you just get a lot of weaker lineups in there. Yeah. A lot of weaker lineups in there. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I wish it would, especially with this card being as big as it is, they would have went the other way, took a risk. Yeah.
$10 big one or something. Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
And if you were going to go up to 30, then make first place 300K because it's right. UFC 300. I mean, this is just too easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. 200K. Come on. Yeah. It's as if that there's a button that's being pressed for an algorithm that spits it out and no one wanted to stop and maybe think a little critically or creatively about how to market this slate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The risk taking has gone way downhill, like for sizing.
Well, I don't know if you guys saw it too. When I tweeted at them to make it bigger, they were like, well, keep an eye out because we have some other bigger contests on the horizon or something. And then the only contest that they made bigger was the 555. Like they acted like there was going to be this huge selection of extra stuff and it wasn't there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a shame. It's one of the best DFS sports.
Yeah.
For sure.
And you said, John, right, that if you win, you're going to give the 200K back in protest just to kind of show.
Absolutely. And I mean, you said we owe you $10. Just tack it off the winnings because when it wins, we're going to be splitting that three ways. So
yeah,
no, I'll be the first to return it. It's just a disgustingly small pittance for me to win in my draft.
200,000.
Yeah. What would I do with that?
I guess right. I'll keep it.
Yeah, I guess. I'll be a effective altruist, a DFS effective altruist after that. All right. Thank you guys again for hanging out in the chat. We'll try to stir up some gossip for you next week. Enjoy UFC 300, enjoy Masters weekend, all of that good stuff. And if you are a virgin fantasy football bro, I do have a new video out on the Deposit Kingdom channel. Fun video. I looked at three different ranking sets and then kind of found the most polarizing players right now relative to ADP in those ranks. That's over on the Deposit Kingdom channel if you'd like to check that out. Otherwise, we'll be back next Thursday as always for Lulz. Or actually, I need to talk with Brian. My parents are going to be here in town next week. So we'll figure that out. But thanks again to John for joining us. And we'll see you guys next time. Peace.